Day FM.
It's that time of the week again, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dermot and Dave Show Best Of podcast. But not if you're driving. Definitely don't sit back. In fact, sit up now.
Maria, you're not even here. This is in the future, and you're not here in the future.
I'm communicating through my mind into the microphone.
You're wedded. No, not by the time this comes out, you won't be wedded. You're on the way to wed.
I am to be, how do they say it in the really old?
Betrothed?
Yeah. I am to be betrothed.
Yes, for to explain to people who may not have had amazingly heard every minute of our show.
How dare you?
Maria has gone on leave before she gets married.
Yeah.
She's been left off before she gets married.
I just didn't want to have to get up so early all the time.
You're dead right.
Although you have a small child, it gets you fairly close to the time you usually
go.
He's
so lazy, you have no idea.
Not really?
He's as lazy as I am. So we work well together. Yeah.
What's he wearing to the wedding?
Oh, a cute little like royal blue suit with a waistcoat and a pink tie little brown shoes.
Does he match his daddy?
Yeah.
He's
going to have a little buttonhole as well, like a little flower.
Oh, he'll be great style.
Oh, listen, he's going to take over the day.
And every auntie and uncle will be dancing with him on the dance floor. Oh, come on. I was the youngest, so I remember many weddings like that.
Yeah.
When you were, what, 37, 38?
Yeah, yeah.
You should have been dancing by the aunties.
Yeah, drunk aunties.
Come on, little Dermot. Look at your suit. How'd you get a pair of shoes as well?
Get your finger out of my buttonhole, Mrs.
Chatting about Maria's wedding, I'm sure it will feature on our Best Of podcast because it was some crack talking to Maria about it all and all the plans she has. Doing her own flowers, she is a brave woman, japers.
Yeah, I can't wait to do the flowers actually. I might even listen to you guys while I'm doing them.
Well, hopefully you'll have better luck than Colin, who got in touch to say that his florist decorated the wrong church on the morning of his wedding.
Oh my God.
Wow
is right.
You always have the... When I was dealing with the church, they double booked and put a communion in.
Oh God,
on the morning of our wedding. So we had a whole thing about having to get it moved and everything. And they did move it, to be fair. But then there was a point when I couldn't go do any flowers with the church. And I'd be stepping over gorgeous little 7-year-olds.
You
in
say
there.
Gorgeous in the back of your mind? Nah, that's not what you're calling them.
And stepping over, maybe kicking. Out of the way. No.
Well, that's no longer an issue. No longer an issue.
No longer an issue. So the only thing that might potentially happen would be a funeral. You can't have all these big wedding flowers.
Oh, of course.
If there's a funeral on the morning. So there still is the risk of that. But look,
sure.
We live in hope.
Fingers crossed that none of that happens at all. Right, this is the Best of Dermot and Dave podcast. It's all the best bits
and
from during the week.
Funerals.
And funerals as well.
Hey, if Johnny doesn't get ready on time, it'll be his funeral.
So in there this week, tons of stuff, guys. Things.
We had Noni's budget. What?
Ruth Negga
was on
That's
the
right.
show.
Oscar nominee Ruth Negga on the show.
Terry Alderton, hilarious comedian, was in with us as well.
He's so funny.
Love chatting to him. Drone pints.
Yeah. Flying pints.
Yeah. Dave's bad jokes, say stuff that suits the music, all the stuff that you come to know and love. It's all in there. Enjoy yourselves now. Have a good listen. And would you send Maria a message there now and wish her best for the wedding there?
Follow her. She is at Maria DevDev on Instagram.
So I am. I'm not very interesting, but maybe I'll watch your story.
I don't say that now. I love your interesting.
If you want some wedding content, Maria DevDev is the place to go until she gets married, and then that'll. What do you do then, Maria?
Nobody will want to listen to me then.
Honeymoon content.
Mm. Yeah.
Everyone wants to hear about your honeymoon.
The honeymoon's going to be amazing.
Mm. Oh, did you book it yesterday?
We booked on an additional trip yesterday. So. We booked it.
So you're going.
About a month ago, we booked Santorini. And then yesterday, we booked a day trip to Athens to see the Acropolis.
Class.
Epic.
Oh, I can't wait.
Epic.
Can't wait.
Right. That's Maria's life now that's taken over the whole podcast there. Well done, Maria.
Enjoy the podcast.
Dermot, hope you're okay, says a text. You still sound like crap from Adam in Kilkenny.
Thank you, Adam. Yep.
Are you feeling like crap?
This is the way
okay?
my life is now. I just I'm a nasal guy. That's how it is. That's how it will continue for the foreseeable future.
Well, with your nasalness, and mm-hmm. for some reason, I've seemed to have dropped down half an octave because my sinuses are at me. So we're just sounding like different guys now. We're just, it's a different radio show. It's Kermit and Jane. So great. Here, lads, come on, you boys in green. We won a match. We won a competitive match. 3-0, Ireland away from home. And what a game it was. They were brilliant. The lads were amazing. Stephen Kenny, it's finally, it's happening for him. It's all the stuff that he's persevered with, the football, the style of play, everything came together in the day. We beat the Azerbaijan team in Baku.
When's our next one?
We're playing a friendly on Tuesday against Qatar, who are obviously the World Cup hosts. So the eyes of the world will be on them.
Don't talk to me about Qatar. Not with this sickness.
That's our next game, and then we will have we'll know more about the group come the end of the week, because obviously Luxembourg are now the team we're chasing.
Luxembourg are the ones to beat.
This is where we are in world football, lads. We're chasing us. We hope that we will overhaul Luxembourg's position. They're slightly ahead of us in the group, and if we do that and finish third, then there's a chance we could get to a playoff and end up in Qatar.
The Dumb and Dumber levels of so you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. Christmas 2022, we could well be in Qatar. Imagine the boys in green on tour. Although we heard an amazing story just over the weekend that a lad had messaged a hotel in Baku to say, hey, what time is your residence bar open? And the hotel got back and said, the residence bar is open 24 hours. So the lad, he told everyone, this hotel's got 24 hours. And so hundreds of Irish fans booked in. And they got there and the lads went, no, we mean it's open till 24 hours, till midnight. And then there was no more bar. And no one, Rory was not very popular after that. But at least he tried.
If somebody says to you, the bar is open 24 hour, yeah, you've got to take it out.
I think it was 24 full stop 00 hour. Like there was a double way of interpreting it, in fairness. That was some good sporting news over the weekend. Tyson Fury won his fight against Deontay Wilder. I know some people were staying up all night. There were communions on in Portmarnock anyway. And there were lads who were partying from like 1 o'clock in the day and trying to stay up until 3 o'clock in the morning to watch the fight.
Ah, no.
Tough. But the biggest sporting news of the weekend, you may or may not have heard this on Sky Sports News. My two daughters, Nina and Anna, played their first competitive GAA football match.
Did they enjoy it?
They enjoyed it to a point. In between one of the games, they walked over to me, and I'm their soccer coach, not their GAA coach, obviously, because I don't coach that, and other people have got that responsibility. And one of my daughters said to me, Daddy, when are we going to play proper football? And I looked at her and I said, I love you so much. This is the correct way to refer
you
to soccer.
That is proper football.
No. So anyway, I'll be focusing on their soccer careers and other people that have got their...
And do that clap again. That was about the level of enthusiasm for Valtteri Bottas when he won the Grand Prix yesterday.
The Turkish Grand Prix.
What it is about Valtteri, just, he doesn't seem to care. No one else seems to care. It's a bit like when, say, someone from management wins the Chris Kindle or something. You know,
wins the Chris Kindle. You
know, or wins a raffle.
Our Employee of the Year.
Yeah.
Someone in a junior management position.
Well done to Tony. He gets the framed picture there of the fire extinguisher. Well done.
Hang on. We have to urinate upon the fire of hope for the Irish team. Because Mike and Kerry says, Dave, actually you're wrong. There is no playoff for third place. The only reason to chase Luxembourg is to try and keep a decent seating for the next qualifiers. So I went and double checked. Mike is right. So here's how it works. Remember the Nations League? The final of that was on last night, by the way. France against Spain.
Right.
France won. So the qualifying now is, there's however many, what is there? However many groups there are, five groups of six teams, right? Five, the winners qualify directly for the World Cup. Only the winners. The people in second place go into a new tournament with two high-ranked Nations League teams who don't finish second, and then there's 12 of them, and they play off, and then there's three places left.
So we'd have to be second to have a chance.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to happen.
No, it's not. So,
well, you know, we're getting the results. You know, they're starting
finally
to come good.
The green shoots. Yeah, coming through.
Everybody, the majority of the country is saying, look, just leave Steve Kenny alone.
100%.
Let him have a proper, for once, have a good run at it.
Yeah.
And then we'll see.
We'll see.
Sure, look at it. Isn't that it?
We'll give you a good run at Asher. Look at it. Isn't that it? The S is OT. Work out what is missing from the sentence and win yourself the money. We are going first to Oliver, who is in Offaly. Hello, Oliver.
How are you, man?
Sure, look at it. Isn't that it?
How are we? How are you in your bright yellow Dermot and Dave Today FM Asher? Look at it. Isn't that it? T-shirt.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Nice.
So you're working for Air, fixing phone lines.
That's it.
Nice one. So are you the internet guy?
Yes, I'm the guy nobody wants to see come around unless something's wrong, and then they still don't want to see me.
No, we do want to see you. It means you open up that little green box of joy and you start plugging things in, switching ports, and then suddenly you're banging out 100 megs and we love you.
Let me ask you a question.
If
lads for them network and them network fans came in, dug up my front, what's it called, grass verge, put in, I said, what are you doing, lads? Because they didn't ask me. I don't own it. It's the councils, whatever. I said, what's going on there? I went, fibre. And I went, nice one. And then I checked. I said, when can I get it? And they went, 2 year. And I went, really? So what's the crack with that, Oliver? Why have I got the fibre infrastructure, but I can't get it for 2 year?
Well, the good thing is, what you can be guaranteed is it'll probably be about 3 years.
See, the problem is, you guys run the fibre to like near our house, but then we've copper wires from there into the gaff. Which
yeah.
then just kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. You know, it's like driving a Lamborghini to work, except parking 100 yards down the road and then getting onto a donkey for the rest of the journey.
That's true, or a Saab, yeah.
He's actually got rid of the Saab.
I got rid of the Saab.
You
got
to update your jokes, Oliver. An ancient Jaguar will do your jokes. Come here, let's get back to business. You've got the T-shirt. Let's see if we can give you the money as well. €450 on the line. What is the S is OT?
The secret is out there.
The secret is out there.
I'd say, Oliver, you've got some secrets. This is the X-Files, is it? Apparently we have to sit through the whole thing, Oliver. It's not right, I'm afraid.
No bother.
Sorry about that. Have a good day.
Take care, lads.
Bye.
Carol is in Tremor. Hello, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You fixing phone lines?
No.
What are you doing, Carol?
Auctioneers in Tremor.
Auctioneers in Tremor, right.
Is it like property auctioneers? Or,
yeah.
Or,
yeah. Yeah, property.
Actually watching a very entertaining television program the other day, but I was really distracted by the voiceover guy who was absolutely appalling. It was called Selling Ireland's Most Expensive Homes.
How dare you?
I don't know who the guy is, but he is.
His name was Dermot and he did an amazing job. Did it not make you want to buy a really expensive home?
Actually, do you know what it made me do? I'm joking.
By the way, it was exclusive homes.
Sorry, exclusive. It's class. But what I was very disappointed with, excited by, was they have these massive houses in Ireland that were like, this will go on the market at 4 million. This will go on the market at 7 million. Then they had this, like, the best house I've ever seen in my life was actually three houses. Like, it was like a hotel resort in the north.
Yeah.
And then your man at the end of it goes, hey, so we'd expect this to go on the market. Our asking price is 2.5 million. Like, I was nearly going to ring the bank and go, here, I can't afford this, but can I afford this? How is it 2.5 million quid? It was like 10 times better than all the other houses.
Well, is it true, Carol? Like, there's good value to be had if you're absolutely minted and you have a few mil to buy.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Yeah, houses then. Yeah, definitely.
But it's the middle of the road ones. It's the squeezed middle. They're the ones that are hardest to come by. So how's the property scenario in Tremor and surrounding townlands? Is it getting more expensive all the time?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
There's just not much on the market at the moment, you know. It's very quiet.
You know, supply and demand, the laws, they always win. Yeah. Okay, well, look, let's see if we can give you money to take the sting out of the property market into more.
what is a deposit on a three bed?
What is the SSOT?
The spring is on track.
The which?
Sprint is on track.
The sprint is on
sprint
track.
Sprint is on track, yeah.
Oh, like, so the sprint race is taking place on a track. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No. Sorry, Carol.
No worries.
But what's, before you go now, we'll pick your brains. What would you say, what in Tremor, say a three-bed family home, what kind of price would that go for
about
now?
About 270, 300,000.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think people in Dublin or even Galway, Limerick or Cork will be thinking that's actually quite reasonable.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah. It is compared to there. Yeah, definitely.
But you just can't get them. That's the problem.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Carol, thank you very much.
And this phone call is going, gone.
See you, okay. Carol. Bye, bye.
See you.
Bye. I was actually, I felt pain for one of the houses on the show you did where someone bought it for 10 million on Shrewsbury Road and then it was for sale with no buyers for 3.5.
That was the biggest bargain of the whole series.
Yeah.
Like, this is a huge gaff on the most expensive road in Ireland.
Sixth most expensive road in the world.
And it was just for like 3 million or
Come
something.
Come on, 3 million, guys. We'll all club in. Surely to God we can afford it.
Neil.
Neil, how are you?
How are you doing, lads?
Good. Are you working hard to try and buy a 3 million euro gaff on Shrewsbury Road?
Wouldn't that be nice, yeah?
Wouldn't it, yeah?
Although what happens now, Neil, is when you hear of houses, it's like, oh yeah, the reserve on it is 189,000. People are like, oh, that's quite reasonable. And what did it go for? 750. That's what's happening now. I know there was a gaff in Lahinch that went on the market for around about 200 grand.
Yeah.
And small house, you'd have to knock it down, tiny plot of land, went for 720.
What?
Yeah. Lahinch is bonkers at the moment.
Jeepers. Neil, how are you getting on?
Very good, thanks.
Good, I'm glad to hear it. Where in Dublin are you?
I'm in Deansgrange.
Deansgrange, great old spot. Right, the SSOT, Neil, what do you think for 450 euro?
The sentence is obviously this.
Oh, how meta of you.
The sentence is obviously this.
The SSOT.
No.
Meta, but wrong.
Sorry, Neil.
Sorry, Neil.
Have a good day, fella.
You too, lads.
See you later.
Bye.
I'm here wondering why Dermot's illness has made him sound like a cross between Bernard O'Shea and Cahill from your team. It's breaking my mind every time he speaks. I've no idea who's on the radio this morning.
I sound like a mixture of Bernard O'Shea
and our Cahill Minogue. Apparently.
That's hard to sound a bit more tip. Would I? It's a bit more tip.
No.
Pull hard.
Stop.
Oh, up above there at the weekend, up to Cashel.
That's terrible.
Up to Rocky Cashel.
We were talking about sport there, the fact that Ireland managed to do something incredible and win a World Cup qualifier away from home, 3-0. Lads, I stayed up for the Fury fight, speaking of sport, with the help of a few cans and my phone alarm, and was treated to what was the greatest boxing match I've ever witnessed. Both fighters were amazing, but Fury was phenomenal. I went into the fight not being bothered who won, but found myself roaring for Fury. I still don't like him, but he's easily the best heavyweight in the world. He would destroy AJ on that form. Anyway, it was a classic, says Kevin Devan. Well, that's the fight everyone wants, is Tyson Fury against Anthony Joshua, but so far it hasn't happened. I don't know. Nobby, Kevin Stewart and PC, they're getting praised today. They're the biggest sporting event of the weekend. It was Glen Carr Manor Hamilton's Miners winning the County Leitrim Minor Championships. It's the first time the club has ever won the Minor Championship. Well done to the fabulous players and the management team of Nobby, Kevin Stewart and PC.
And not to forget Patrick Swell beating the Piershig. I mean, I know, guys, you were up all weekend watching that as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
Lads, it's all happening. You can't stop it. You might want your Halloween before Christmas, but Christmas is inexorable and it is rolling on. And I'll tell you what's happened. Carl and I have been eating mince pies for a week.
You have. It's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. Last night, Dublin Town, the lads who do all the good stuff in Dublin, put up the first Christmas lights.
Sorry, hang on. They're putting them up because it takes ages.
Yeah.
They're not turning them on till November.
No, but they're putting
so
them up.
So cool the jets there,
No, because
Christmas
when you drive
man.
Through, in or out, they're there. And I just got an email, Secret Santa 2021, from my own family, that we do a Secret Santa among brothers and sisters and brothers-in-law
You're
and all that.
They're all as bad as each other.
It's happening now. What is today? Today is the 11th of October, 11 a.m. The Secret Santa email is in.
Well, we were having rows in our house last night because my wife reckoned that it was too early for Halloween decorations.
God, no.
Oh, I start putting ours up and then Johnny was like, oh, what? So when I'm getting ready and people are taking pictures of me on the morning of the wedding, there'll just be Halloween decorations.
Well, there will
so
be.
So I had to stop.
But no, no matter what.
But no, I would probably put them up.
Ours are up. Our kids went up to the attic and got them and put them up themselves over the weekend. We had no stopping them. They're all up.
Yeah.
Little speed bump of Halloween and we're still on the road to Christmas, lads. Morning, Ruth.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Great. Congratulations on, I was going to say a movie. It's not. It's a work of art.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? I concur. I totally agree. It's a masterpiece. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah.
And how lovely that you're able to come here to Ireland and talk about it.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Would you get down to Limerick at all while you're here?
I was there recently.
Were you?
Yeah, I made a trip home to see my folks because I haven't been there in 5 years.
Yeah. Do you think Limerick has changed over the years since you've spent?
I don't know. I didn't go into town. I just saw my folks.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. And then I went down to Kerry for a swim in the sea.
Oh, are you a sea swimmer?
I am a sea swimmer.
Oh, like on a regular basis?
Now, to be honest, no, because okay. I don't swim in the sea in California. You don't know what's in there.
That's true. Yeah. Or who's in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. But look, passing is amazing.
Thank you.
Your performance is incredible.
Thank you.
You literally cannot take your eyes off you on when you're watching it. The whole cast is incredible.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, the term passing obviously has major relevance because it was something that the film highlights that people of colour felt on occasion they had to do to literally pass as white people. Can you explain that kind of concept to people that maybe who aren't familiar that was a thing or possibly still is a thing?
Right. So historically speaking, passing has been going on for centuries all over the world. But obviously our film concentrates on the US. And it was because, you know, people have been mixing throughout the ages. And some people, some black people, African Americans, were light-skinned enough to be able to assimilate into the white community and no one suspected they were black. And it was a way of accessing a life that was forbidden for black people through slavery. And then you had the deconstruction of Reconstruction, the Black Codes, and then Jim Crow. And so much of life was just inaccessible. You know, so I think passing for a lot of people was a way to achieve economic potential, job potential, essentially a way of achieving people's dreams. I mean, I don't know how many people wanted to pass. I mean, no, I get the feeling no one wanted to be white, but it was just about access.
Mm. And then do you think some of the other themes in this are about passing in other ways, as in you're passing, maybe you're playing a role of a husband or a wife.
Majorly, yeah.
Yeah, you're passing as in your career. And there seem to be a lot of undercurrents in this, not just the overt passing, but other you know themes also.
Yeah, well, there's the wonderful Tessa Thompson who plays Irene in it. She says at one point, "We're all passing for something, aren't we?" And I think that is essentially what our film is about: is identity and mask wearing, you know, essentially. And the irony is that the sole person who is wearing the mask of whiteness is actually the person who is the most truthful, living as themselves most truthfully. Like living, she's Claire for me, the character I play, has achieved something that I think, you know, why I fell in love with her was she's achieved something that I think people even within their lifetimes don't achieve, is this integration of all your sort of your multitudes, you know, your ugly and your beautiful bits, you know. And she really leans into that. She brings her entire self to her person. And the irony is that Irene is living as a pillar of the black community, and she invests in her role as a mother and a wife. And yet when Claire is this catalyst, really, for an awakening of sorts, that she's not living her full true self, you know. As a woman who wants to step out of the shadow of the responsibility that she has to the black community, to her husband, to her kids. And, you know, she's ignoring her responsibility to herself. And that's something that bubbles up and that she can't deny. And essentially, we see a crumbling of that identity, and hopefully in order to make way for a new one.
Mm.
And I think it's a testament to being truthful, living truthfully, but you have to live truthfully and be honest with yourself, first of all.
Yeah. It's a testament to the writing too, isn't it? Because the book is nearly 100 years old, but it's still so relevant in ways. You know?
Well, it was published in 1929. You know, Nell Larson died in poverty and relative obscurity. You know, she was never celebrated in her lifetime. And, you know,
I don't even think she could get her next book published after she'd written this one.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Do you think the Netflix connection to this movie is really important in the sense that if this was a traditional Hollywood, let's make a movie scenario, the chances are this would be quite indie. You know, as you said, it's an arty piece.
Yeah.
It's an exploration of personality and other themes that aren't Hollywood blockbuster material in a general sense.
Yeah.
But Netflix gives you the film, I mean, the platform to hit, what, 200 million?
It's extraordinary. Counts? And that's why we were so excited when we heard they bought it. So excited because, you know, they have the might, the push, but they also love the film. They genuinely, you know, you know when people are interested in your film or not, you know, and I really feel that they're super excited about this film and they believe in it. And all the themes, they're 100% behind it. And that is a lovely feeling to feel, you know, it's not going to just be in some lovely art house cinema somewhere that four people will see, you know.
Yeah.
That's important, you know, and people, you know, might not go and see it. It's in black and white. It's about, you know, race. It's not everybody thinks that they would love something like that. But actually, you know, I think Netflix is a really, you know, these digital platforms are really great ways to be surprised at yourself and your own tastes and to widen and broaden those tastes, you know. And there's kind of a democratization of the arts, you know, which is never a bad thing in my eyes. No.
And a belated congratulations on your Oscar nomination.
I mean, thank you.
How does that change things? Does it change things other than just sort of jumping out of bed with a bit more vigor and are saying "told you so" to a lot of people? Yeah, like does it change much in terms of maybe the roles that you have access to, or are the people the roles that you can pick and choose, or does it really have any great?
Well, I'm sure it does, but it's very hard to sort of quantify that or even get a sense of it yourself. I'm sure it does, you know, in terms of numbers, you know, like, or, you know, I'm sure it like bumps you up for a while, but not too much. I mean, I don't really know, you know. You know, what we all thought when Halle Berry got the Oscar, we all thought, oh, this is a game changer. And, you know, even Halle has said, you know, like, it didn't change much. And I think we have to learn lessons from that and think, well, then what is it for? You know, I certainly think you're seeing more diversity now, but that's hard fought and it's not won yet, you know. Yeah. And you don't want, oh, we've got a window of opportunity, because I feel there's a pressure, you know, especially on black women artists that, oh my God, how long is this window of opportunity going to be open? And like, you know, we need to keep it open, but we need help. And you know, I think things are changing, but we do need representation in the corridors of power, the people who, you know, can green light shit.
But very quickly before we go, Rebecca Hall, first time director of this movie, people will know Rebecca as an actress. Does having an actress in a directing role help your performance?
Most definitely. It's hard to sort of really nail how and why, but I think generally speaking, there's an energy and a trust there. You know, I think she knows how to speak to you, first of all. You know, I mean, that sounds really sort of really pedestrian and dull.
But she's been there.
It's actually, you know, there's a lot of practicality to that, you know. And I, you know, it's sort of, you sort of like eschew the politeness. You don't need that, you know. No one's kind of, you don't. I think some people think they need to mollycoddle or like actors but or just dictate to us, which is like, I don't really like either of those ways of working. But you know, what she gave us is the gift of trust. You know, I mean, I don't know if she actually did trust us, but she made us feel like she did, and that's lovely, because you know that responsibility. You really want to meet that, and you know you have the tools to do it. But it really matters when people believe in you, and when it's your director, you need them to believe in you, you know. So there's a shorthand, I think.
And before we let you go, did we hear that you are teaming up with ex-James Bond Daniel Craig for a play?
Yeah, we're going to be doing Macbeth.
Wow.
Together. So yeah, I'm a bit scared. I've got my voice. Yeah,
are you able to say who you're playing?
I'm going to be taking on the role of Lady Macbeth this time.
Brilliant. Yeah. Is that a play you've done before?
No. And I didn't study it, and I'd never read it before.
I love that. Well, I love that idea of just bringing in freshness and, you know, a completely new perspective.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And that's not to say I won't be watching every performance ever committed to celluloid and taking notes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Rutnega, a pleasure to talk to you. Best of luck, Macbeth. Best of luck in passing.
Hopefully, as a fellow Limerick person, maybe we'll meet in Nancy's for a pint.
Maybe.
Or maybe even have a snack box in the Chicken Hut. Our Souths, yeah.
I love that bar. Or Fennessy's. My grandfather used to go there.
Really? Yeah. God, I went there too, so maybe that means I'm as old as your grandfather.
Yeah, I see. Maybe you are him.
There's a horse and cart outside, right? Some milk churns. Yeah, I remember the place.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you so much.
We're talking to Jamie Crummy there a few minutes ago, who's the co-founder of an app called Too Good To Go, which is an app that tries to solve the global problem of food waste. It's an anti-food waste. In fact, it's the number one anti-food waste app in the world, where you sign up. You log in, basically get the app, and then you can get your own favourite local restaurants, their food, in a surprise bag at a fraction of the price. And it looks like about a third of the price. I was looking there on the app, it looks like it's about a third of the price. But we were talking about when things like that have happened to us. I used to work in a petrol station, and you do the Cuisine de France baking for obviously first thing in the morning, get the croissants on and get the jambons on and get the sausages in and whatever. But then I'd work from 6 a.m. to 2, and then at about 1:45 you'd be getting ready to kind of pack your bag and go. I would go, I better take 6 of those jambons. I think they're going off. Like, and if your boss looks at you going, what? And like, oh, I cooked them at like 6. He says they're fine. They're a bit flaky. Put on another 6 there. This is into your bag. But Ema, you happened to you in school?
Yeah, when I was in school, the Talca burst its banks. I think it was in first year. And
sorry, we should say this is the River Talca.
The River Talca, which backed onto my school. So for some reason, we all got sent home. Best day ever. It was a Friday. Got into school at like 10 o'clock. They're like,
go home,
see you later. But because they were closing early, the school deli closed early. So as we were leaving, the teachers were just handing us soft rolls as we were walking out the door. I'm like, soft roll, jam donut, soft roll, jam donut. One of my all-time favourite memories from school.
I love that you've probably forgotten the entirety of your whole history class. But this you remember in glorious detail.
I actually only looked at the history paper from when I did my Leaving Cert recently out of interest. Couldn't remember a thing, but that soft roll. Yeah.
And what was the local shop down the corner had a special?
Oh, so the Met was opposite the Met office. Right. And it was the local cafe for 5th and 6th years who were allowed out. And they did a thing called the Schoolgirl Special, which was a soft roll. Soft rolls were
soft
huge.
Soft rolls were obviously massive in Dublin in the 90s.
Soft roll, cut in half. Southern fried chicken, chips, curry sauce.
Wow.
Yeah. Messy, sloppy, because it's a soft roll.
Yeah.
Plus curry sauce, sloppy, and a can of Coke for a fiver.
Oh my God, that sounds unreal.
I know.
Give me 5 of them now. 5 schoolgirl specials.
Like you'd hear at like 5 to 1, you'd hear all the chairs scraping of everyone getting ready to
sprint,
because the queues would be huge. And you might only have 40 minutes for your lunch. So you'd be running back in trying to get your schoolgirl special down your throat before the next class.
The schoolgirl special was putting the Met kids through college. Yeah.
It's no longer there. So RIP the Met and indeed the schoolgirl special.
I think in today's world they'd probably have to change the name, but look, it still sounds delicious.
Vicky and Tip says, great morning to tune in to you on the app, lads. I'm in the gym this morning working out, and now I'm going to get curry chips and jambons and a pit stop on the way home. Sorry, Vicky. I used to work for Bendini and Shaw. Every evening we took leftover sandwiches to St. Vincent de Paul. I used to take a bag as well and hand them out to homeless people on my way to my bus on Parnell Street. So many sandwiches, but they all went to the charity and to the homeless people. My sister used to work in La Croissanterie in the ILAC Centre. She used to bring home all the baguettes and pastries at the end of the day. I'd be going to school with ham and cheese, croissants or jambons, feeling like a boss.
I don't think anyone in the ILAC Centre pronounced it like that.
Possibly
just guessing.
Here's an interesting question. Dave, do you wash your belly button in the shower?
Oh, what?
No.
We don't need to know this. We don't need to discuss it.
No one ever washes their belly. Has anyone ever washed their belly button in here?
No, you can't put your finger in your belly button.
It's gross. Have you ever washed your belly button?
You wash your belly.
What? Yeah, but your belly button. Do you get in there and swish around like?
No, we're not talking about this, Dave.
Someone is 087-4100-102. I'm determined to say you absolutely do not. Jamelia Superstar, Sermon of the Day, well, today FM. Dermot's getting a phone call from an 088 number.
I'm getting so much spam these days.
That's so weird.
Much spam.
Well,
I will answer it.
Yeah, it's got to be. Your PPS number is compromised.
Hello? Oh, they're gone.
Damn. Constant
chickens,
calls.
Chickens, come on. Give me the scan.
Your PPS number has been compromised. Yeah. You must press 1 to get a new PPS number.
I just get so many of them. And I always get them sort of between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Oh, mine are later in the afternoon. Obviously, they put us on a different database. I'm kind of around 3 or 4 o'clock. That's our coming in. We just been talking about excuses there a few minutes ago. Lots of your texts coming in, lad. Someone I worked with didn't arrive into work one day. No messages nor calls to say why they wouldn't be in. Next day, he came in as if nothing happened. And the boss said, "Hey, what happened yesterday?" His reply was, "I took a sleeping tablet and didn't wake up." Like, I don't know how you expect to get away with that one.
Migraine, best excuse ever, says someone. Can come in suddenly, lasts varied amount of time, sometimes all day, and then just clears. No way to prove it.
That's a good one. Maria, have you ever done an old migraine excuse
from migraines?
Can I just say,
phantom
that
grains?
Is unfair on all of us that actually suffer from them, because then nobody will believe us anymore.
Yeah, that's true. We definitely don't believe you. Received a call from a young lad in the office, says nobody, anonymous. He was going to be very late. He said he'd help his uncle pick up a dead body from a nearby hospital. He explained further after I went crazy that his uncle does a bit of undertaking in his spare time. Well, that's definitely a solid excuse
in
fairness.
Spare time.
Kim says a co-worker of mine once called in sick as he threw his glass eye into the toilet by mistake when he was cleaning it and it cracked.
That is exceptional. Oh,
whatever about dropping your phone into the toilet, dropping your glass eye and smashing it in the jacks. You don't want to be putting that back in your head.
Most people are saying that women's problems are definitely the best way to get out of any work scenario, which obviously only work for a percentage of society.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't work for everybody. But definitely that is the most popular one, all right. 087-4100-102. If there's anything else you can think of as a better excuse than Bernard's Veruca, you can let us know.
One of my mate's employees rang in and said he couldn't come to work because his seatbelt wouldn't work in the car. Absolute gold, as he couldn't try driving without it. Because it was illegal.
Yeah.
He got the day off.
I think that's fair.
What about public transport?
Yeah,
get the bus.
There are other ways to get to work. There is a bad joke about this that I could give you if you like, Dermot. You ready? Bad joke about this?
Oh, no.
No, this isn't bad joke time.
Early bad jokes. Paddy, he rocked up to work and the boss asked him, where were you yesterday? You weren't here. He goes, oh, yeah, I was on a course. And the boss goes, oh, how'd you get on? Yeah, pretty good. Finished 300, won a voucher. Real bad jokes happen after 11 o'clock. Talking about excuses, good excuses, bad excuses. Bernard was talking about them, Bernard O'Shea, a little while ago. Back, Ski Balls has been on to us.
Morning, lads. I had a friend one time who came in late, came in at 12 o'clock. And the boss said to him, where were you till now? We start at 7. And he said that he dreamt he was already at work. And when he woke up on the couch, he realised he wasn't. What could the boss say to him?
He dreamt he was at work. Imagine that panic of dreaming. You've had your shower, your breakfast, gone on the commute, gone to work, and then you wake up on the couch and realise you're still at home.
I had a chap working as a glass collector in the hotel I worked in. He wasn't from Ireland and English wasn't great. He rang me one evening and simply said, "I too tired."
I appreciate the honesty of that, in fairness.
Another colleague couldn't come into work because she got shampoo in her eye.
Dave's World. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
Dermot is with me. Obviously, it's the Dermot and Dave Show. Maria, our producer, is here. And in exciting news, Maria has a joke. But Maria, we're going to do that classic radio thing where we tell people to... Maria will tell you your joke in a few minutes because we're going to, like...
You know, is mine the last one?
But we'll see. Well, it depends how confident you are.
Your last one is never funny.
Okay, so well then yours is the last one, definitely.
A lot of fresh.
We're going to kick things off with Murphogram. And Murphogram says, the wife says we need to have a chat about my childish behaviour. As if I'm going to have time for that conversation in the middle of conquer season.
I love conkers.
You're not the only one, Maria, with a joke. Andrew Louth, our US political guy. He is a joke for us.
What do you call a row of rabbits which take a step backwards?
A row of rabbits who take a step backwards. Don't know, Andrew. What do you call a row of rabbits who take a step backwards?
What do you call a row of rabbits?
Best bad jokes ever.
What do you call it, Andrew?
Rabbits which take
Jesus Christ. Broken.
Poor Andrew.
Broken. This was his moment. He was very excited about
you
this.
You have to start again.
Okay. Andrew Louth, you know our US political guy?
Yeah.
He's got a great joke for us.
What do you call a row of rabbits which take a step backwards?
I don't know, Andrew. What do you call them?
A receding hairline.
Yay!
Was it worth it? Don't know yet.
It was totally worth it. Stephen says, what do you call a knight who loves to scare people? Surprise!
Oh, surprise.
Very good,
Tony says, How does Tony the Tiger like his cheese? Grated.
I can see that coming.
James says this one's for Dermot. Dermot, like you, I too studied archaeology in college. My career is in ruins. And Shane says to the entire Dermot and Dave show team, instead of slagging off Dave because he only wears tracksuits and shorts to work, I really think you should cut him some slacks.
That's a good joke.
Derek says, I went to a children's first aid course the other day. The instructor asked me, what would you do if your child swallowed a key? I thought for a second, then I went, I suppose I'd try and climb in the window. Philip says, three conspiracy theorists walk into a bar. And you want to tell me that that's a coincidence?
That is a good joke.
Sean says, my trainer recommended mollusks for extra protein. Unfortunately, I was banned from all competitions for taking performance-enhancing slugs.
I don't know what mollusks. Don't get that joke.
Mollusks are snails. That's good. Craig says, what do you call a dog with no back legs and a metal tail? Sparky. Fiona says, what do you call a septic cat? Puss.
Ew.
That's the best joke ever on Dave's Bad Jokes. Irene says, I'll never forget the day I had to do PE in my underwear because I forgot my kit. That was the end of my teaching career. Stino Spursy, what an amazing name. Stino Spursy says, as I left Grandad's to go out and take the dog for a walk, he shouted after me, oi, don't forget poo bags. And I said, all right, sorry. Okay, come on, Nana.
Oh, wow. I thought the dog was called poo bags.
That was even worse. Okay, Maria, this is your moment.
Okay.
This is it.
The final joke.
Well,
no,
if it's not good enough, we'll have to come back.
Okay. I'll take that. All right. Are you ready?
I think we peaked with Granny there.
Don't forget poo bags. No, go on.
So, a man is out walking with his young son.
Okay.
And he runs into a friend he hasn't seen in years. And he's like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. How are you? Oh, you haven't met my son Lee yet, have you? And his friend says, no, I haven't actually. What's Lee short for? And the man replies, because he's only three. Do you get it?
Oh, we get it.
I totally get it.
The end.
Yeah. I think actually that's a better. Nothing I can do would be funnier than that. Thank you, Maria.
Have we worked out just how many he has lost in a row?
Three.
It is way more than three, my friend.
Four. Imra figured
it's
out.
It's six or seven now.
But what about the previous one when you lost nine in a row? Why are you talking about that?
That's ancient history.
So is this. Anyway, I will tell you now about my cheese while Emer's researches how many I've lost in a row. I heard about a tour that I cannot believe is not coming to Europe, or at least maybe it's just not announced yet.
Is it my school tour when I went to Leisureland in Galway, but it was closed?
Even better than that.
Eight in a row you've lost.
Wow. Let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the tour. The tour is Ricky Martin and Enrique Iglesias together on one stage. What? It's all over America. It's everywhere. It's coming to Poland. But that's all we've got so far is one date in Poland. So I was looking at the set list and I said, well, wonder what the big encore is.
Living La Vida Loca 10 times.
A 1,000,000% wrong. That's the first song. The one they do as the encore, lads, is this beautiful Enrique ballad. Yeah, Yes, Enrique's Hero is their encore song. If you want to hear that on the radio like I do, then all you got to do is text or WhatsApp the word cheese to 087-4100-102. Cheese to 087-4100-102. And I'll play it on the radio in a few minutes' time.
Nonsense. Today's cracker, Primal Scream, rocks. Celebrating budget day in style. We got to keep our moods up. That's why I want you to vote for Cracker and make it 9 losses in a row for Dave. Just text or WhatsApp Cracker if you want to hear Primal Scream to 087-4100-102 Today FM.
Jesus, Enrique.
Our Cracker is Primal Scream.
Emer's been adding up your votes on 087-4100-102. She has got percentages for us to see who will win cheese and crackers.
61-39
in favor of.
The drought is over there. Congratulations. Yes. Cheese win.
Cheese, Enrique in his tight pants is all I needed to do, lads. Who knew? Oh, here we go. It's Enrique.
Let me be your hero.
You can be my hero, Enrique. You're my hero. Thank you for the cheese win. Jesus Christ.
A lady called at Dawn underscore Galway, a.k.a. Dawn of the Tribes, put a tweet up last night that has shocked the country.
Set us back this morning. We were like, what? This is a thing?
It says, okay, lads, the world has just peaked. You can all go home now. On for this one, because the absolute legends at Mana Aero have just dropped pints at my house. A bag of pints. And I swear to God, not a drop spilled. I may never leave my house again. Hashtag pints in the sky. So this is all to do with a new drone service, which is called Mana Drone Delivery. It's based in Oran Mór. And it delivered 2 bags of pints, which sounds terrible. I mean, who wants a bag of pints? But they were upright, perfectly protected, but then in a bag so that there was the drone was able to lower them down from the sky.
It's not like when you buy a box of wine and the wine is in a bag in the the box. There were actual pints.
Apparently, one fine-headed pint of Guinness and a lager arrived from the Thatch Bar in Oran Mór. We've driven by it many times.
Yes, we have.
And the recording shows the drone slowly approaching with 2 position lights and a main light used as a torch in the dark. And then the drone carefully delivers the bag that land on the ground without falling.
You see, I think this is the future. Do you remember during the first lockdown, we spoke to the lads at Barack Obama Plaza at the Supermax there.
Yeah.
Who were doing Supermax drone deliveries. Now, obviously, they were limited by, you know, certain directions they could fly because air space and all that is very important when you're flying a drone. But this was the beginning of it. Now they've moved on to pints. And as Dawn kind of points out, that's peak. In other words, after pints, where do you go? Like, then it's not as exciting to get, you know, a bag of Pick-A-Mix or your Amazon delivery. Pints is the peak. If they can deliver pints without spilling them, that's the peak.
Well, this is where we are now. And, you know, it throws up a lot of questions, though. Obviously, this is one company, one bar, and one person ordering. How about a busy Saturday night? You know, the match is on and everyone is doing it. The sky would just be filled with this black swarm of pints crashing into each other and spillage raining down on our heads.
Surely there'll have to be regulations. I was thinking about this, right? When the pints land at Dawn's house, she goes over in her video and you can tell that it's tied, you know, so it's say it's double bagged in brown paper bags and they're tied on the handles. I think there's more chance of you spilling the pint as you're undoing the rope or whatever than there is of the drone actually dropping it, because it's as Dawn said, it flows
perfectly. Plus, the more pints you have, the less able you are to detach the thing.
There you go.
So the more chances that the drone goes, okay, to hell with this, and flies away, dragging your pints with it that have been half detached.
Or I could just see the amount of fail videos of like, Laz, the drone company delivered by, and the guy fought after the pints were flown in, he'll just trip over the curb. Just like the pints will go flying, that'll be the end of
it. I wonder, could you just have it coming? You know, obviously, them arriving once, you know, is great and all, but Irish people being Irish people, we tend to have more than one. Drink responsibly, everybody.
Of course.
And, you know, do you set it into the thing, like, you know, order the first one at 8 p.m. Right. And then just like keep them coming every 30 minutes.
You want a drone subscription service on a night?
As some kind of loyalty scheme.
Get a stamp every time one arrives and then your 10th one is free.
Maria, what would you do? I mean, you don't drink pints. You're a white wine aficionado.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be able to be delivered in a wine glass like that for you?
I'll just take the bottle. If the glass is a problem, just send the bottle. I'm
sealed,
not snobby.
Yeah. I suppose the other thing as well is like, you've got to talk about the price. Like, how much does it cost on top of the pint of the price of the pint to get one?
So
to
how
your...
much would it cost? How much would you be willing to pay?
Yeah. Well, it depends also on how much you plan on using it that evening. Do you know?
Yeah, so the more you got delivered, the less you should have to pay.
Yeah. So a subscription is what we're looking at.
Let's real world it for a second. Right? Let's say 2 pints is £9, right? Let's just say that's, I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's not the real world, Dave.
Okay, what is it?
Unless you're drinking in a Shee Bean down in on the Aran Islands somewhere.
Okay, so are we £12?
Yeah, probably closer to 12.
Yes. Okay,
yeah.
On top of £12 for 2 pints, delivered to your driveway.
Easy knowing Dave never buys around.
He always forgets. Yeah.
Can I still pay in shillings?
Okay, so £12. On top of £12, what would you pay to have pints arrive on your driveway?
Well, if you think about a Chinese takeaway, you're looking at maybe €2 delivery fee.
Mm-hmm. Are you there? So you think you can fly pints for £2?
Why not? You can drive a takeaway for £2.
Okay.
Yeah, it's far more friendly to the earth. It's eco-friendly. It's not burning diesel up there.
You're justifying it quite strongly.
Absolutely.
Lads. So
I'm not drunk. I'm saving the planet.
If somebody said I can fly you pints, but it's a tenner on top of the 12.
What?
Yeah,
on top.
On top.
No,
you're
no
saying
one's
no.
Pay that.
So it's got to be like, it's got to be Chinese takeaway levels.
Now, in lockdown, maybe they would have paid it. But now things are a bit more accessible to us again.
What I love is one of the kind of quotes on the website of the drone company is, its service is faster, quieter, safer and greener than traditional methods of delivery. Lads, traditional methods of delivery was the barman handed it to you across the bar. Like, it's only since lockdown that people started putting pints in the back of vans and driving them around. It hasn't been happening for centuries.
Well, look, before people think that maybe, you know, either A, you're lazy or B, you have an alcohol problem, just like our work scenario and landscape has changed over the last year and a half. Mm. So has our drinking. We're not drunks, we're hybrid drinkers. Sometimes we drink in the pub. We're just drinking from home.
Drinking from home.
Dermot in Athlone says, it's still cheaper than Temple Bar if you were to pay the £12 and add a tenner on top.
Yeah,
sure. Even with the tenner, you have to think, if I was on a night out, how much would my taxi cost?
Yeah. Well, you can start. Maria, you justify whatever way you need to justify the fact that you're now getting drone delivery alcohol to your gaff.
Well, according to a spokesperson, the pints were just a trial, a once-off, but watch this space, they say. So well, keep your gaze on the skies.
Could be bread and milk.
Well, we might just have the man behind this whole drone company on the phone in a couple of minutes' time, so stay tuned. What are your thoughts? 087-4100-102. It's LAFM.
Would you use it?
Yeah.
How much would you pay?
Someone says drone pints, peak hipster nonsense.
It is not. It's hashtag hybrid drinking. We've been through
clever.
Whose round is this? Because you're going to fly your pints into your gaff apparently now. That's the new thing. Just trialled last night in Galway. And Dawn in Galway managed to get a couple of pints flown from the Thatch Bar in Oranmore to her driveway.
Bobby Healy is the CEO of Mana Aero, the company behind these drones. How are you?
How are you, lads? Good segue there with the round.
Thanks very much. So we get paid the big bucks. Was that just a kind of a one-off experiment, Bobby, last night, or is this something you think will actually be able to be rolled out?
Yeah, it was a one-off. The legislation's a bit grey about whether or not we could do that, and it's not something we're prioritising. We've a customer down there in Oranmore who's just an unbelievable customer, and we thought we'd give them a little bit of a treat. But we delivered 3 pints. You know, beautifully intact, and they had barely settled by the time they arrived.
How long was the journey?
About just less than 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So range is something I wanted to ask you about. So, like, in a very general sense for drone delivery, you presumably have to live close to, you know, some kind of a hub where the deliveries can be flown from.
Yeah. Well, we fly about, you know, in Oranmore, we fly, you know, distances of about 8 kilometres, but it's, as the crow flies, just over 2 kilometres. And Balbriggan, our next town, would be the same. You know, we'd be flying about a 4 to 5 kilometre round trip. So you have to live close to one of our hubs. Mm. If you call out your air code over the airwaves there, I can check if you're...
Ah, you're fine.
He's got his own home bar. He's way ahead of you. And actually, someone is pointing out some potential pitfalls. If that drone comes in delivering drink to a group of already highly inebriated lads, which frankly I find sexist, how long do you think it would be before the drone never comes back?
Yes. Well, they'd have to be about 30 metres tall to be able to get the drone, because you don't land. Now, there would be in certain areas of Dublin probably freaks like that, but no. Do you think we're fairly safe?
They could be just basically taking pot shots with empties.
they could be. We look forward to testing that with our high-powered lasers.
And Bobby, you do drone delivery left, right and centre, so what kind of stuff do you do on a daily basis? What's the most popular stuff you deliver?
Surprisingly, coffee is the biggest thing. It's a flat white, latte, Americano.
So drink deliveries are what people are up for mostly?
Yeah, I mean, people will book the day before for their coffee and croissant in the morning, their breakfast roll, you name it. So breakfast and coffees are all day long and the most popular.
So how many drones do you have flying in the air at any one time?
So in our total fleet, in Oranmore, we only fly two drones. And it's more than enough. Like, we do 50 to 100 deliveries a day at peak, and that's more than enough. Like, one drone will do 60 deliveries a day.
You don't have to tip the drone. That's the great thing as well.
You can tip me. I'll give you my number. You can put that on the website.
Well, here's an idea for you. Laura is in Tralee, and she says, I would totally use the drone if it was a bread/milk service.
Yeah, we do that. We did there, yeah.
Because she says, after I had my first baby, I realised how awkward it was to just pop into the local shop for a few bits, car seats, sleeping baby, etc. And it's kind of frowned upon to leave the baba in the car. And sure, if the drone brought a bottle of wine for mama, then happy days.
Yeah, you want to go to the neighbours to borrow the milk or sugar anymore. You can get it from us in 3 minutes, even quicker.
Yeah.
Wow. And so what's your setup? Are you literally sitting there in the office ready to run out to the local supermarket or the local coffee shop and pick up whatever someone orders?
Yeah, no, we're on the roof of Tesco in Oranmore, and the same in Balbriggan, and we fly off their roof. And so if you order, Tesco have, 16,000 different products, and they bring it up to the roof to us. So when you order, they get it on their app, they bring it up to us, and our job is load the cargo on the aircraft and stand back.
Okay, right.
Well, you know, you entrepreneurs, and you always have business plans and future predictions. What do you see this landscape looking like in, say, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, you can bet that there'll be no more road-based delivery in Ireland. That'll be, completely gone, except for city centres. So our starting market is Ireland. We want to be rolled out across Ireland in the next 2 to 3 years. And there should be no reason for road-based delivery. Drones are quicker, they're safer, they're quieter, they're cleaner, no CO2.
Yeah, but could you do your weekly shop, though, Bobby? I mean, like, a drone would have to be pretty strong to bring 7 crates to my house.
Yeah, I mean, you can get an Armada, which is 3 drones, or a squadron,
and they can carry things.
And they can carry loads of stuff.
That's an interesting choice of name. It didn't work out too well for the Owl Armada.
Not for the Armada, but it did land on the beach.
They got where they needed to be.
Yeah.
Oh,
you can order your handbags as well, they fit.
There be tales of legends of the Oranmore Armada, and there lies at the bottom of the ocean a load of pints, bread, milk, and a pizza down at the bottom of the sea.
That's where we got the idea, for sure.
One of the things we were kind of speculating about was the price. How much is it on top of the price of the product to have Manna fly in your whatever you want?
Yeah, well, if you get a litre of milk, it's $1.50 to get the extra on top of the price of milk to get it delivered. If you get, for example, Camille pie, it's about €4 for delivery. So people tend to load up and fill the aircraft. Same with the coffee shop. They'll order coffees and croissants and stuff for the kids. And so it ain't cheap, but it's cheaper than using a road-based delivery. And plus, as I said, you don't have to tip the driver, and the driver won't eat some of your chips on the way either.
As long as you don't go Ryanair on it now and start adding extra baggage charges from the plastic spoon.
What we want to do is we want to offer a subscription. So wherever you live, ultimately, you'll just subscribe to the service, and everything you need, you'll get all you can eat pretty much for free delivery. You just subscribe to the service. That's the way it'll end up.
Nice one. Do you have Instagram or anything that people can go and see all your fine work?
They can go to Manna Aero, AERO, and 2 N's in the Manna, and you can see lovely videos of the aircraft in action. And we're also presenting at Balbriggan, at Smart Dublin in Balbriggan this weekend at the hackathon, so you can see the aircraft and kick it and all that kind of stuff.
What does manna mean? Where did you get that from?
So most of your audience might know this. Our Catholic heritage should tell us this. It's manna from heaven. The play on a biblical kind of a word.
Yeah, because you're flying down from the heavens, Bobby. I like it.
Religious company.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. Yeah.
And for manna, see 1 pint of Carlsberg and 1 Guinness.
Come here, Bobby Healy, CEO of Manna and Manna Drone Delivery, Manna Aero. Thanks so much for chatting to us today.
Thanks, lads. Love the
show.
See
you later.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Bobby.
Bye-bye.
See you, man.
All the best. How do you think? Yeah, you can go to at Today FM's Twitter and you can have a look at the video of the pints arriving into Oranmore yesterday. I don't know. Would you do it? 0874100102. Would you sign up for a subscription and then
I would sign
have
up for,
everything delivered?
For a prescription? Yeah, there's another idea for Bobby. Is there, like, for pizzas? Because my big issue with pizzas, I love pizzas, but right. I have to eat them straight out of the oven. They've got to be hot with the gooey cheese and all that. Delivery pizzas are never hot enough, even if they've been wrapped in those supposed bags.
So you think the drone might cut the delivery time down sufficient that you can still go when you eat it?
Exactly. You need to be making that face and making those sounds or else the pizza's not worth it. It's not the same.
You and I are very different. If I get a delivery pizza, or even if I get one, say, the Dublin pizza coming around the corner and the guy cooks it and literally puts it into my thing, I wait. I give it 30 seconds at least, maybe a minute.
You do the same with your toast as well, don't you? Cold
leave
toast.
Leave toast, yeah.
No, what's wrong with you? You don't deserve a drone.
087-4100-102, drop us a text or a WhatsApp. We had Jeff Shannon in there, the author of Hard Work Is Not Enough, and lots of reaction on 087-4100-102. Neil from Kildare says, guys, to quote Homer Simpson, if something's hard to do, it's not worth doing. Someone else says, I work with a lad whose motto is, I'd rather go home cold than tired. I'm not altogether sure what that means, but I like it. And then on the flip side, Jen says, Dermot Dave, my son said to me the other day, that now a degree isn't enough. You have to have at least a master's.
I suppose it depends on your career choice.
It does, but...
I mean, I think if you're going down a career path where academia is considered really relevant, if you want to be a radio DJ, it don't matter what you do.
An anonymous text up says, working hard and getting nowhere in financial services and putting in crazy hours. I got fed up and decided to become a dog groomer. I have 2 vans on the road now, over 400 clients. I work 8 to 4, 4 days a week. Working smarter for sure.
That is cool. Although I like the way, for some reason, my screen here didn't show me half that text.
Yeah.
So I just saw was working hard and getting nowhere in financial services and putting in crazy hours, got fed up and decided to become a dog. Which is also a career option.
It
it's
is.
Better than a master's.
Dennis Lucy is in Cork this morning to talk about something completely different. Dennis, are you watching the football last night?
I sure was, Dave.
Go on, you boys in green.
Hey.
2 wins on the bounce, 2 clean sheets, 7 goals scored, a Callum Robinson hat-trick. It's the good times are back.
We're on our way, absolutely.
Funny we can play Azerbaijan and Qatar every week.
I know, absolutely.
What did you think watching it?
Pardon?
What did you think watching the game?
Yeah, I just couldn't believe the transition and the progression we've made since the last time we played Azerbaijan, which was about 6 months ago, where we struggled to get a draw. And I got out of bed this morning with a pep in my step that, you know, it felt great that we're back on a stage where we're competing. There's a real feel-good factor. When the Irish football team do well, it just unites the country. And it just feels good this morning that we're on the trajectory, we're going up. And obviously there's bigger tests on the way, but the way the boys are playing, the way they're trying to play football is the way we should have been playing probably for the last 30 years. We never had the confidence to do it, and maybe we didn't have the guile of the manager to do it, but Stephen Kenny seems to be having us on the right track, and it feels good.
It does feel good, and I wonder, is it the case of, you know, we look back at the early part of Stephen Kenny's reign and kind of go, God, do you remember we couldn't win a game and now we're doing really well? Because I do think what we saw over the last couple of games, as you said, is the performances. I mean, the loss to Portugal, you know, 2 goals in the last minute and all that, and the same against the Serbs. Like, the performances were there, but the results weren't. Now we're getting both.
Correct, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, when you consider what Stephen Kenny Dave had to go through, obviously all the COVID issues that we had at the time, empty stadiums, no one there to support the team, and he was just thrown in. Well, he wasn't thrown in, he was groomed for the job, but it must have been a very difficult transition for him. But like, it's great the way they're after reacting now. He's definitely the right man for the job. His philosophy is brilliant. And the most important thing is the players seem to have bought into it as well.
Yeah.
And bums on seats, which is great. I think the real football supporters, anyone that I spoke to that are into football, they all believe it's going to take time. It's not going to just happen overnight. It's a transition. Michael O'Neill suffered or went through something similar with the North of Ireland when he took over the team. It took him a while, but gee, the North were playing great football then after that. So look, our expectations were very high probably, but look, we're getting there, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel now, I think, at least.
Here, here.
Do you not
brilliant.
Think now that you're possibly getting ahead of yourselves? Like,
I probably am, Dermot. But we've had such a bad couple of years. We've had a lot of bad years. Look, it's brilliant. It's great. It just feels good as a sports person this morning. It feels so good. Look, we're on the stage. We're back. The lads on the team, they seem so grounded. They speak very well. Especially the lads of the African descent. I'm absolutely delighted for them. Adamida, Gavin Bazuna, Andrew Obemidele.
Ogbene as well. So, yeah, they did so well.
They seem so grounded. They're lovely lads. It's the New Ireland. It's the way it's going to be in the future. And it's brilliant to see. It's absolutely great to see.
Dennis, it's got nothing to do with the management or, you know, the work that's been put in there. It's all to do with the blue jersey. That's what we were doing wrong, because they were playing in this blue jersey last night. Suddenly, bang, 4 goals. That's
We thought we were French, Dermot. Yeah.
Well, someone else says, Dennis says, we played like Italy. We look like them too. Those jerseys are class.
This is just like our Cahill. You know, he's playing for Kevin's. The jerseys were too baggy. We got him the slim fitting ones.
And now he's in a relegation battle.
but he's still losing, but he's losing better.
Yes. He's losing, exactly. Yeah.
And Dennis, one thing to point out, I think Jeff Hendrick's man of the match performance last night can definitely be brought back to the fact that Newcastle are now owned by the richest people in football, and he's looking around his shoulder, not worried about who else is in the Newcastle squad, but looking at Marco Verratti and Tchouaméni and N'Golo Kanté and Sergio Busquets and everyone else that's going to go to end up in Newcastle in the next couple of months. So he played unbelievable last night. Well, come here.
He was like a man transformed. He was brilliant.
He was. Dennis,
brilliant.
Thanks so much for the positive come on you boys in green call this morning. I think you're absolutely right. The mood of the nation has lifted from the last couple of performances. Fair play to you, Dennis.
Yeah. Long may it continue.
All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Cheers, lad.
I've noticed that since I have this never-ending head cold, that I can do a better Chris Martin impression, because he sounds quite nasal.
Let's hear you.
We really love Maria.
Pretty damn good.
Hi, Chris Martin from Coldplay here.
Is Dermot going to be here? No, Chris, he's not.
Why did Dermot not turn up at the last interview? We really love Maria. It's not bad, is it?
It's actually pretty damn good. I mean, you can do the interview with Fergal. We don't even need to get Coldplay.
And I noticed we had Steve Garrigan in from Codaline.
His new book, High Hopes,
And I noticed I can do a Steve without having a head cold as well.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys. How's it going? Steve here from Codaline. I wrote the book and I'm really happy with it and got new music coming out. Vinny and the lads are really excited about it.
See, I thought I needed was a head cold. I've opened my impression stable by 30%.
Close your nasal passages, open your stable. It's all happening. Well,
the name of my next book.
People are hoping you never get better, Dermot, that you keep your head cold, because you're like Phoebe from Friends, says a text. She sings better when she has a head cold.
Oh, yeah.
Someone else says, Steve from Codaline, I'm dying. And someone, you've got another impersonation you didn't even thought of.
Who?
Bob Geldof.
Well, I can't do Bob. You know this is a running joke. We can't do Bob
just
Geldof.
Just give me the money. Just keep saying, give me the money.
Give me the money. No, I can't.
Yeah, you're much closer than usual.
No, I can't do Bob. No, he's a bit croaky like that, I suppose.
Pretty good, Maria, right? Yeah, Maria, I'm telling you, you're getting closer. All right, let's do Say Stuff That Suits the Music.
Rubbish.
Say Stuff That Suits the Music.
Say Stuff That Suits the Music.
Say Stuff That Suits the Music.
Okay, this part of the show is very simple. I'm Dave, I'll play pieces of music to Dermot, and then Dermot will perform things off the top of his head he thinks suit the pieces of music that he's never heard before. Are you ready to go with your head cold?
Yes, okay. Press the button.
How y'all doing tonight? Budget 2021 details given to you by a country nightclub DJ to connect with the youth. Big shout out to 50 Cent on a packet of cigarettes. Fags up 50. 5 cents on a bottle of red wine. Ooh, not going to like that one. And a student grant of €5 a week with extra access to food banks in the house. Dear Diary, this is Dermot's head cold. I moved in just 2 weeks ago and I'm really at home. I don't think I'm ever going to leave. It's so funny. Every time he blows his nose, he thinks that will help, but it doesn't help at all. In anyway, I'm possibly getting worse. Oh, anyway, look forward to tonight when I'll stop him breathing. Sneeze you later. Codaline are back with a song about refreshers. This all yellow. And they're stuck in my teeth. Now all my fillings are falling out. Somebody call the dentist. We're gathered here today to remember and repose the soul of Timmy O'Brien. Timmy was a very special member of the community. Sorry, lads, do we have to have that music going? Sorry, Father, we booked Nathan Carter, but he has to be gone by 2:10, so this is going through now. Up the partner by the hand and swing him round on the wagon wheel. Oh, hey, lads, you're after knocking over the coffin, for the love of God. Meet the accountants. Two middle managers who didn't play by the rules.
Donald, I think we should go to a different sandwich place for lunch today.
Really, yeah? You think we should?
Oh, yeah. I think they've got, like, ham and cheese there.
The accountants, living life on the edge.
Will we get the bus? No, let's walk.
Oh, my God!
How are you doing? Ray Darcy here. On the show today, we have the whole cast of the original film, The Commitments, coming to you live from where they all are now in an old folks' home.
Give me ice cream and jelly now, baby. I can't chew anything else.
You better change my pants. They're destroyed.
All right, on the show, The Commitments.
Tune. Zara Larsson and Clean Bandits, Dermot and Dave on Today FM.
I think someone holding you tight and not letting go is a nice idea, but I'd say after about 15 minutes, it just gets really annoying. You're like, I need to get stuff out of the fridge.
Don't you need your own arms back?
I'm holding you tight. I love you. Never letting you go.
Dave's world. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
Okay, lads, I've got another World Cup going on my Instagram, and this time it is iconic guitar riffs. And I would like to just give the world a bit of an education that there is a difference between the word riff, which is R-I-F-F, which is what I'm talking about, and rifts, which a lot of people call guitar riffs, but they actually, one person on Instagram thought I was doing iconic rifts, and they said, oh, Liam and Noel are going to win it. So I was like, no, it's not actually family rifts or band rifts. It's riffs, which
I'm
is...
I'm a fan of rifts.
Yeah, rifts are probably more crack in fairness.
Maybe you should explain the difference between a riff and a solo, because people tend to get that confused as well.
Yeah, so like... Okay, so I'll tell you what, I'll start with one of the games that's happening right now in the World Cup, is this riff from Rage Against the Machine. So that bit is a riff, okay? In the song, there's a solo, which is when Tom Morello goes,
He should have used a guitar. I don't know why he didn't.
That actually is up against another classic riff. And actually, when I did my iconic guitar solos, some people said, why isn't this in it? And I said, well, because it's not a solo, it's a riff. So
the riff is just something that repeats throughout the song, okay. Whereas the solo is the showy off bit.
Get the guy out to the front.
Yeah.
You know, the singer's always the cool guy. Now the other guy gets to go up and go, look what I can do. And everyone goes, yeah, Richie Sambora, you're not John Bon Jovi. you're right. So the riff is the structure of the song, the repeat. So that's one of the battles there, is Rage Against the Machine against Guns N' Roses. Now,
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one. And I think people sometimes think that I skew these things or that I see them or that I make sure my favourites don't get up. Here's one of the battles that's in this thing. Two of my favourite bands of all time. That's Metallica, Enter Sandman, going up against the opposite end of the scale, but one of my other favourite bands and favourite songs.
Is that technically a riff?
It is. That is a guitar riff, yeah. You see, because there's so many definitions of it, but yes, if it is an iconic part of a song played on the guitar that you can only play on the guitar in a certain way, then I'm calling that a riff. That battle is actually really close. I'm not going to give away who's in the lead at the moment, but it's really close. The argument that I said I created between Dermot Whelan and Ian Dempsey is, again, this happened at random, that this riff... Yeah, one of Dermot's favourite bands of all time. Came up against Bowie.
See, that's where you got to take out your own personal feelings on these things. Like, I love The Police. I love that song. I love that guitar riff. However, if you're talking iconic guitar riffs, then you'd have to go for that Bowie
Rebel. Yeah, I think so. And I think that's the difference. Now, I said at the start of my World Cup on my Instagram, I said, please don't vote for your favorite song or your favorite band. Vote for the most iconic riff. Because if you think about it, like, say, there's ones in there, like, there's this, right? Like, you cannot argue that these two, which are up against each other, are two of the most iconic riffs that have ever been played on the guitar. So Layla, right? Yeah. By the way, not by Eric Clapton, which everyone is freaking out about. What? It's Derek and the Dominoes is the name of the band that released Layla. Yes, Eric Clapton was in Derek and the Dominoes, but that's the name of the band. Because like, people were like, who would that? And I was like, yeah, anyway, that's iconic. Up against another iconic one. Right, check this out. So, you know, so it's not just like some kind of, you know, super popularity. Yes.
You better remind people what that
is. Sorry, Roy Orbison. By the way, Roy Orbison's song is not called Pretty Woman. It's called Oh, Pretty Woman.
Are you saying Roy Orbison?
Roy Orbison.
Oh.
Oh, God, I hope I didn't say Orbison. I apologize if I said Orbison. I mean Orbison.
I've been saying it wrong all along.
No, you're spot on. Obviously, this had to be in there.
We just passed the anniversary of Nevermind, so that would have to...
That'll win it.
So look what it's up against, right, though? Like, this is the way the computer draws these matches. You know?
I'm not hearing any U2 in there, Dave. I mean, what is happening?
Okay, so I thought about my list of 32.
I haven't heard any Irish ones yet.
Well, I thought about my list of 32.
He's afraid the Irish will win.
Oh, no, I wasn't putting any Irish in, no matter what. No, in fairness, I did. I thought about Thin Lizzy. I thought about U2. And when I put them up against the others that were on my list, I said, look, they have some of the best songs around. They are absolutely brilliant. Like, you can't deny there are brilliant U2 guitar riffs. Are they iconic on a world
yes,
stage?
Yes, absolutely.
Bad. Give me an example.
Bad.
Bad's guitarist.
Just simple and you hear and you go, oh my God, it's one of the greatest songs ever. Oh, okay, how about something more modern like Vertigo?
It doesn't make the cut against the standard of, like, look, against this.
Ah, come on.
The Stairway to Heaven is literally one of the most iconic riffs that's ever been invented by anyone ever in the history of anything.
Yeah, how can you put
Bad by U2 up against... Not on the same playing field. It's like Championship and Premier League.
What about Thin Lizzy that should have been in there? At least, like, Boys Are Back in Town or something, or...
No, but like they're great songs and they're iconic tunes, but I don't think they're iconic guitar riffs.
I think he's taking a very anti-Irish stance.
I think Vertigo, I think you are wrong, Dave Moore. Vertigo could have replaced Roy Orbison and nobody would have gone to you, what about Roy Orbison?
Like, The Edge is literally one of the greatest and most celebrated guitarists of all time. And he doesn't even get in there with... no riff he's ever done is worthy.
Is worthy. No, and he says, you know what the joy of this is? It's my World Cup, it's my football, and I'm going home.
I pick
the 32. I chose my most iconic.
So we have to put an asterisk beside, oh, when you announce the best riff of all time, mm-hmm. you're going to have to put an asterisk.
Yeah, and according to Dave.
Well,
yeah.
Sorry, I should point out that all of them have the same asterisk, which is I picked the 32 and the Instagram audience picked the rest. So, yeah, they're all that. But anyway, it's going right now on my Instagram, at Dave Today FM, if you want to have a vote. And also, there is a playlist of all 32 songs, which people are saying that they're absolutely loving, because there's 32 absolutely riff-tacular songs in there.
Where do people find that playlist?
Same thing, Instagram.
Instagram.
At Dave Today FM. It's all the stuff there.
I know something about one of those riffs.
Oh!
If you go back to the Slash one, the Guns N' Roses one, from the early part of our conversation. Now, maybe I learned this from Dave's world, because that happens sometimes. Dave tells me facts.
Very rarely.
A few weeks or months pass, and then I tell the facts back to him as if I just thought of them.
Yeah, that happens occasionally.
So, forgive me if that's the case. This thing was actually a finger exercise that Slash used to do when he turned up, just to warm up his hands. And then one day they went, why don't we just put that into a song? And he's like, oh, okay.
He's absolutely right on every level. A, he's absolutely right about that. And B, it was Dave's role. I saw that on a couple of months back.
I don't remember it, Dermot. So to me, it came
don't
from
worry,
you.
Nobody remembers Dave's role. It's totally fine.
I'm shocked I remember anything.
The Riff World Cup is on my Instagram. If you want to go and vote, I'm at Dave Today FM on that. Mark has been on to us.
Dave, I get what you're saying about you too, because I don't think the Edge actually knows how to play guitar. But what about the likes of Derek Doom from Horselips or Whiskey in a Jar from Tin Lizzy? You cannot tell me they're not the best riffs ever.
Well, look, I love Derek Doom by Horselips. I also love Tin Lizzy. But like I said, I just made those choices based on the ones that I thought were more iconic than those. And I don't think Derek Doom, as much as we love it as Irish people, I don't think globally you can say Derek Doom is as iconic as, for example, The Kinks' You Really Got Me, which was the first ever distorted guitar ever recorded. I think that's more important and iconic than anything there.
God, he's very, very opinionated about all this. But you put Irish things in all your other World Cups. Why are you doing this now for this?
No, I don't put Irish things on. Sometimes Irish things go
in. You put
in
Father
World Cups.
Ted into like best ashtray competition. Father Ted wins.
There is a latent nationalism that I am fighting in my World Cups. Like, for example, I did the dramatic TV characters one last week, right? And I didn't put in any Irish TV shows. Didn't put in Love Hate. Didn't put in Glen Rowe. Probably didn't put these ones in so that people would go, you know, because Miley would just win everything. They still found the two Irish people who even are on UK shows, in Cillian Murphy and your man in Line of Duty, Ted Hastings. Forgive me, Line of Duty fans. What's his name?
Adrian Dunbar.
They found another one that can do a bit better
with a blocked nose.
They put Adrian the two Dunbar. Of them in the frickin' final, and Cillian won. Fair play to Cillian. Peaky Blinders, Thomas Shelby's a great character.
We're Irish people. We love Irish people.
I know.
And Irish things.
I'm trying to make the World Cups more democratic so that Derek Doom by Horselips isn't crowned the most iconic riff ever, when it plainly isn't.
But if it wins, if that's the riff that means the most to Irish people, i.e. your audience, then surely that should win.
No. My so World Cup.
Why don't you just
ball.
Tell everyone what should win?
No, I give them 32 choices. They just happen to be my 32 choices.
Can I blow your minds with something that I did not know until this very second? Consider this a Dermot's world. You know the phrase "Open Sesame."
Yeah.
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 Apparently, that's "Open Says Me," and we've all been getting it wrong for decades. Don't try and tell me you told me this before, because you definitely did not. Open Sesame is actually not, we've been pronouncing it wrong. It's Open Says Me. Open Says Me. Open Says Me. Open Says Me.
The Dave's World was things, I did a what you call those things where you blow
stop
up
rumors. Stop
trying
to make everything Dave's World. I'm trying to tell you something.
It's not right. It's Ouvre Sesame from Alibaba. From French.
And why are they saying Sesame?
It was something to do with Alibaba and the 40 Thieves. I don't remember.
So Open Says Me, what? Now I don't know what to think.
I'm confused also.
God damn it. Well, one thing we can be sure of, it's not Open Sesame.
No, not Open Sesame. Not the way we say it. This is it. This is our last day. The next time you hear Maria Devereaux talk, well, after 12 o'clock today, she'll be a married woman.
Oh, it's a wedding thing. I just thought it was a producer thing that you just wore a crown.
I am queen producer.
And
yes.
A veil.
And a sash that says,
sash.
I produce radio.
I wear it everywhere I go. Yeah, I'm finishing up today. That's it. You're not going to see me now until...
We won't see you until you walk out down the aisle.
Unless you're going to that movie premiere on Sunday.
Okay, yeah, I might see you then, yeah. Straight from the movie premiere to the wedding, Maria. You're very
Obviously,
brave.
Yeah.
So, come here. So, like, are you excited? Are you nervous? How do you feel about it? You're just going to get me the hell out of work because I've loads to do?
A little bit of that. Mm. I've loads to do and I need to take off my work head and put on my, like, wedding head.
Right.
And yesterday was the first time I woke up and I was actually excited because it's just been filled full of nerves and is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen?
Because this is the third attempt.
This is the third date. Yeah.
Thanks, COVID.
Yeah. So yesterday I woke up with just this wave of excitement. I was thinking, oh my God, this actually, it's happening now, you know, it's in days now, like this is happening.
And then how did you feel later on in the evening when you saw the restrictions may not be lifted indeed around the time of the wedding?
All of the fighting gifts that I put into our WhatsApp group is exactly how I was feeling when I was watching the news. I don't know what they're going to do now in terms of restrictions.
They're not going to go backwards.
Do you not think so?
No.
What I'm afraid of is... For the other two dates, everyone was saying you'll be fine. It'll be fine. Surely by then it will be this. Surely by then, and it never was. So, you know, we won't know until stands in front of the microphone and tells us.
Yeah, but even the kind of the most cautious of people speaking about this are saying that, you know, it's something we need to keep an eye on. So I think Dermot's right. I think going backwards would be seen as a pretty draconian measure, and they don't
might just
need
not.
That at this point. They might change
it. They might push the date for lifting the rest of the restrictions.
And that's what you need. You just need everything to stay the same, right?
Yeah.
As it is right now.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
As long as they don't put a ban on, like, class DJs at weddings.
Oh,
like,
you won't have a problem there.
Got to bring in this international superstar DJ. That cool, Micheál Martin? Yeah, that's me. I'm the DJ.
Cheese fest.
You'll
be at Cheese Fest.
So, yeah, I've loads planned.
You're doing a lot yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doing my own flowers.
Oh.
Because obviously, I did a couple of courses in floristry and stuff.
Yeah,
you're a mean florist yourself.
I love it. It brings me so much zen when I'm, like, making arrangements and stuff.
How many will you need to make?
No,
not at all. Whatever it does, whatever it takes. Well, how many will you need to make for the wedding, though?
I have 5 bridesmaids.
Yeah.
So there's 5 small bouquets.
Mm-hmm.
Bridal bouquet. Buttonholes for all the groomsmen. And then the 2 tiny men I have in my life as well. And the mothers get corsages.
Okay.
And then
that's
dad
a
gets
lot.
A buttonhole as well. Yeah.
And the whole church, all the pews?
The pews, yeah, the pews.
You're doing them as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't not just hire someone in to do those ones?
No, because, and do you know why I didn't, right? Number one, it's so expensive. But look, I love flowers and I love working with them. So I wanted to do it myself.
Will you still love them at the end of this?
Possibly not by the end of the week.
You're pulling the heads off.
Stupid flowers.
But you know what? I when I went to order them, right? Because you have to order them wholesale. So they come from Holland.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a problem. Brexit threw up loads of issues for flowers. For some reason, I don't understand the ins and outs of it because I don't work with it.
Like. Yeah.
And I went on. So my sister's wedding was in 2019. I did her flowers for her. And I went on to use the same website to order my own flowers. They had barely any stock.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, no, this is terrible. None of those are the flowers that I wanted. You know, and I can see what I want in my head.
It's a Brexit thing, isn't it?
It's a Brexit
thing. It's affected flowers, yeah.
Yeah, and because they come through the UK, I think.
So what's the solution to that then?
I had to get on to the lovely people in Kay's Flower School, where I trained, and said... what's the story? I'm trying to order my flowers for my wedding and they put me onto somebody else.
I could probably find you someone in China, Maria, who gets you some plastic flowers if that was any good to you.
Let
me do a bit of research. I'll come back to you by 3 o'clock.
We'll pick some daisies, buttercups, make little chains.
That would be very cute.
Loads of texts, Maria, flying in 087-4100-102. I've never been as invested in a wedding as I am in this one, and that includes my own, sending all the good vibes your way, Maria. Every single one of the vibes. And people want to know, Maria, did you choose your entrance songs? Remember, this was a thing that you were worried about there being a cheese overload when the bridal party are being announced into the room in the hotel, that yeah. you were worried there's going to be kind of, it's going to be too much
cringe.
So much cringe.
People want to know, have you chosen the music for that?
I think
yet?
I have, but I haven't said it to Johnny.
Doesn't matter, Maria, you're the boss.
You're going to all be really disappointed because it's Coldplay.
Well, I think unsurprised is what I'd say we are, Maria, to be honest with you.
Coldplay, Head Full of Dreams, I think.
Head Full of Dreams.
Yeah, because that's the song that kicked off the concert, and me and Johnny were at the concert, and we mm-hmm. were both like, oh my God, this is amazing. So it means something. Yeah.
Well, plus, it's quality reality TV. I mean, it's uplifting music.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a reason they use it in X Factor and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll go with that, I think.
There's a text in from Kev in the van that says, don't do it, Maria. For the love of God, don't do it. Don't leave those two boys on their own in the studio. They'll wreck it. Best of luck, he says, by the way, as well. Yeah, you can keep your text coming in at 087-4100-102.
And thank you to you guys for all the lovely things on my desk.
Oh, the shenanigans this morning. Yes.
Yeah, we had pastries. To stall Maria in here while Cahill and Emer went to work outside and decorated your desk.
They made me think that they cared about my opinion on something. To keep me in
ask
the studio.
Maria something about yeah. stuff.
Keep
you think
here.
About climate change.
I just kept staring out the window going, I got the thumbs up from Emer. Yeah, that's great, Maria. I think your opinion's pretty. Let's go outside now.
I don't know how impressed Johnny's going to be when I bring the card home mm-hmm. that you got me. Because on the front of it, it says, Mrs. and Mrs. Not Mr. and Mrs.
That may have been an oversight.
Someone was in a hurry. But it's the Breakfast of Champions laid out there. There's pastries.
Yeah.
There's love hearts.
Yeah. There's the most important.
Books Fizz.
Freddo's.
Oh, Freddo's.
Yes.
Of course. How could we forget?
Freddo's.
What's more important than Books Fizz?
So, yeah, just waiting on someone to make me a cup of tea now so I can dip it in.
Oh, God's sake. Last day, she's one of the
diva.
The crown comes responsibility.
Great responsibility. 087-4100-102, you want to wish Maria well. She will be here until the end of the show, obviously, so you've got plenty of time to get a message in.
I might, I'll think about it.
What a tune. Spice Girls, who do you think you are? It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM. One of the Spice Girls was on telly yesterday, Maria.
Yeah, she was on Good Morning America.
Which?
Posh Spice, Posh Victoria Spice. Beckham. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was asked about, for the bazillionth time, I'd say, about joining the Spice Girls and going on tour and everything again. And this is what she said.
Do you know, I think the Spice Girls was such a big success and something I enjoyed so much. But I think my times of singing on stage are behind me. And, you know, the fans have always been so great. And it was such a wonderful journey. But for me now, focusing on fashion and beauty, you know, that's my passion. And what I love about the beauty is, you know, really getting in the lab and being creative and really focusing on that clean beauty message. For me, that's my creative outlet now, if you like, rather than singing and dancing. Yeah. It's developing products that I love, working closely with my community. So ultimately, I'm giving them what they want, what they really, really want. There you go.
Yay.
She had it all planned out. Yeah.
I love her so much. She was getting a bit of abuse on Twitter, because who doesn't get abused on Twitter,
uh-huh.
about her lips, and people ask him, what has she done to her lips?
Are
has she injected?
Full and all that? And
no, like, maybe she's had a small bit of filler. I don't know, but who cares? She's Victoria Beckham. She can do whatever the hell she likes to her own face. Leave her alone.
That's Twitter's job, though, you know, to police these things and throw comments, yeah. you know, it's yeah. very important.
Well, I think she looks amazing.
Okay, well, that's all that matters to you then, Maria. Fair play.
And she's funny.
She is funny. The only thing about her, yeah, I remember that show where it was kind of like a reality show following her around.
Yeah.
And she's genuinely hilarious.
Well, didn't that end because of his affair?
Yeah.
It ended with his affair with the nanny. Yeah,
didn't go well. But
what was her name again?
Rebecca Luce.
Yeah, that was such massive scandal at the
time,
wasn't
it? Huge news, yeah.
We definitely wrote comedy songs about Rebecca Luce, didn't we?
I think we did at the time,
yeah. Ava Max, Sweet But Psycho, Dermot and Dave on Today FM. I'm not sure which of those adjectives I'd use to describe our next guest. It is Noni, who sells chocolate out of a pram.
A little bit from column A, a little from column B.
A lot from column B. She sells chocolate out of a pram down in Limerick, and as mentioned, mentioned a few minutes ago, the budget, of course, happened on Tuesday, but it is taken until today for Noni to react to the budget and give her own pram-based budget. We'll cross live now to Donkey Ford's in Limerick, where Noni has a plinth outside. She's giving some kind of a press conference.
Hello, hello, thank you for coming. Thank you. Apologies for the 2-day delay on reacting to the budget, but I have a new hip and I got stuck in the bathroom.
What are you going to do about climate change?
I'm not sure why you're English, but thank you for the question. Obviously, climate change is a big issue. The winter evenings are coming in. I'm going to wear an extra pair of tights. That should see me through till Christmas. Next.
You have to take the green agenda seriously.
I will absolutely be taking a greener approach with my pram. So I will only now be selling fat frogs, mint arrows and cream eggs.
Cream eggs aren't green.
They are if you leave them on the windowsill for 3 months.
What about the fuel allowance?
I've talked long and hard about this over the last few weeks and I am prepared to allow fuel.
How will you address the carbon tax?
I will. I don't have a comment on the carbon tax, but I I will be introducing a bourbon tax.
What's that?
There will be an extra £5 on all packets of bourbon biscuits from my pram. An extra £2 on a custard cream.
Oh my god!
And Jersey creams will no longer be sold because they're rank.
What about the minimum wage?
The minimum wage, I will continue to pay the absolute bare minimum wage possible to all my employees. The Oompa Loompas under Thomond Park, they're in the chocolate factory. And Francis, my raven, his weekly wage has gone up to 2 worms and a bag of yolks. It's okay, 3 bags. You got your deal.
What will you do for the performing arts sector?
The performing arts is very, very important to people in Limerick. They should get loads of money, especially for like singing, dancing, people doing plays. I'm just not giving any money to those lads who make dogs out of sand because it's a pile of shite.
Before you haven't answered all the questions, alcohol, cigarettes.
It's a bit early in the day, but go on, sure, I'll have a nagging in 20 Rotmans there. So, okay.
Laura Keating is in Carlow. Hello, Laura.
Hi, guys.
What's going on?
Just in work, doing a bit.
What are you ringing us for? Just want the chats, the bants.
That's it, yeah.
Well, come here till I tell you. The amount of things I have on at the moment myself, I'm snowed under. How are you getting on, Laura?
Oh, so great.
Yeah.
I'd say you're mad busy, up the walls, out the door, flat out. Was there anything in particular you wanted, or? Do you want us to get something on the way home?
Something.
You're looking to win something.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, we'd never have anything like that here. She wouldn't give us the time of day in here. They wouldn't. We barely get a cross on from one end of the day to the other.
You'd be lucky to win an argument around here.
Would you like to win a €1,000 Aldi voucher?
Oh, I'd love that.
Well, then you would have had to have heard a spooky sound on the radio that maybe sounded like this. And then you would have had to have texted into the radio station. Then you would have had to have been chosen at random. And you would have had to call you, put you through to the desk. Here we are talking to you now. Has all of that happened?
Yes.
Well, then that must mean you've won €1,000 Aldi voucher!
Great, did I hear that, lad? Thanks very much.
Yeah. How about that? Sure, look it. You might as well head off there now.
That's it. Now, what's the first thing you're going to buy in Aldi? Or will you go straight to the middle aisle?
No, I might do a bit of shopping.
A bit of shopping first, then to the middle aisle. Right,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, but €1,000 now, you'll be coming out with 6 or 7 trolleys, so you will.
Thanks a million, guys.
All right. Bye, Laura.
Bye, Laura. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, today is Face Your Fears Day, and Aldi's revealed that over 57% of the Irish population fear Halloween creatures.
What would be your most feared Halloween creature?
Spider.
Oh, obviously spiders for Maria, yeah.
All year.
I mean, obviously, I don't particularly want to meet a member of the undead in real life. I don't find the Halloween things.
Banshee.
Oh, I'll tell you what's scary. My kids hung the Halloween decorations up themselves. They got them out of the attic and put them up because we didn't want to do it for a couple of weeks. They just did it. But we have this really scary one that's like a kind of a doll's face with hair and a big long kind of cloaky thing.
Oh, they're terrifying.
Yeah, and they're hanging out of a tree, but it has hands. And it goes like, kind of cry, weeps, and then it goes, manic laughter.
Oh, no.
Except it's triggered by motion. And I thought it would be really, because it's cheap, I thought it'd be, you'd have to be really close up. It's triggered by the buses that go past my house, and its hand tips off the window going, click, click, click. And I look over, and then it goes, and I nearly have a stroke every night.
We actually bought a massive spider in Aldi. It was only last week I bought it. Like, it's one of those, you know, honeycomb paper things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's huge and it has 8 big, massive legs.
Is it big enough that it's convinced you that it's not real? Because if it was a tiny little thing, I think you might be more afraid of it.
No, if the big, yeah, it's massive. Like, it's hanging in the middle of our hall.
Right.
So now Rian thinks that everybody forgets it's there. So when you walk into the hall, he's like, oh, there's a big spider in there. And you have to act like you're scared all over again. It's very cute.
This Halloween, take a trip down Ali's Middle. See how many fears you can face, because there's the one-stop shop for Halloween 2021. Ali has everything from spooky Halloween decorations, cool costumes, festive confectionery, not to mention some great offers for the month of October. Check out Ali's stores nationwide now for all your Halloween needs.
Dave, I think that horrifying noise isn't from that Halloween toy. It's actually your neighbour three doors down with the dodgy moped driving by your house. Could it mean we're getting the Dubs out of Dublin and the Culchies are back on the road?
That's what you want.
Because proposal B, you know, these are the kinds of things where you hear, okay, proposal B, rah, 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 and your brain tries desperately to latch onto it, but it just can't. So, Cathal, your job this morning is to make this stuff accessible to our listeners and help them to understand and convince them why this is a good idea.
You're much sounder than I am. I want you to make it accessible to me, because I do not understand what's going on. I don't care about the listeners.
Okay, well, to the people who think that this means nothing to them at all, so if you're from Leitrim or Wexford, or, you know, not footballing counties, and you mean, sure, what even is this proposal B? See it in the papers and it goes over your head. This might mean you might have more crack next summer.
Okay.
You might have more crack.
Okay, we're in.
Okay.
Guys, we're hooked.
So basically, the whole idea is the championship, the GA championship football at the moment is not working.
So it's dominated by, you know, the four teams. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less. So more or less Dublin, Tyrone, Kerry, Mayo. Give or take, and then you have Donegal and the likes as well. But, you know, every year they're in the final or winning it.
Or the semis.
It was such a mad scene last year when Tip got to the All-Ireland semi-final along with Cavan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not doing your own county and Cavan a disservice there.
I am. And that was fantastic yesterday. That was so exciting. But it happens once in a blue moon. Then, a couple of months later, Tip got relegated in the league from Division 3 to Division 4, you know? So that's not a team that's up and coming.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
And now it's a bad league run as well. So, you know, without getting too down on Tipperary football or anything like that. So the whole idea with this is that you scrap all of this, that Leinster play each other, and then the winners of Leinster go out, and all the Ulster teams play each other, and then you break on whoever wins.
Okay, because that's where you get the cream of the crop, effectively, from each of the provinces going, correct, well, we're the best team in the province, we'll go to the semis, and then no one else ever has a chance.
So exactly.
Whatever it is, 28 counties are just pretty much not going to get
there. Or then you'd have a Cavan who
the odd time
went gunning for the Ulster and then won it, and everyone was shocked, and then they come out and then they play Dublin. So this would be that all of the teams, so let's say what you have in the wintertime would be the league and stuff, so they're all ranked, so you'd have Division 1, 2, 3, 4. Now they'd play each other, but in a championship setting. So it would be played in the summertime. So Tip would play in Division 4, and they'd be playing teams that are their own standard.
Okay.
Likes of Sligo and Wexford and Louth and these kind of teams.
So would you be playing for a different trophy, essentially?
Well, so this is where it gets complicated, and please just stick with me on this, right?
Because
this
is I'm trying.
This is where now I start to feel my eyes and ears.
I'm putting on my Homer Simpson half moon glasses to try and get serious here. Okay.
So basically, if the Division 3 and Division 4 teams, the winners, whoever wins that division, like you would in the league, they'll go on and play the Sam Maguire along with everyone that's in Division 1. So let's say Tipperary win Division 4. they win it, and then that's great. They've won that division. Mm. Now they'll compete in the Sam Maguire along with the big guns.
Okay.
The, you know, the, whatever is five or six.
Okay, so there's a constant chance for, you know, the best of the rest to get and play for Sam. Yeah. But then the rest, it means that they aren't just sort of either, at least they're getting games, and actually the games matter because you're playing essentially in a different tournament.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And if you don't, if you win your division, you go on to play Sam Maguire, but the teams that don't in Division 3 and Division 4, which are the lesser teams that have about two games of championship and then they're gonzo.
They're gonzo, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's for them. They'll play in a thing called the Charlton Cup, which is like just a tier 2 championship, let's say.
Okay, so
there's another final in Coe Park.
So they,
more crack.
They get more crack. They get the more crack of playing more and better balanced games, first of all. That's the first thing. And then there's a chance to go to Croker and play for an actual trophy.
Exactly.
Which, if you're, no offence to Tipperary or Cavan, who did it once in a blue moon, but as you said, Tipperary, Louth, Wicklow.
It could be Limerick Tip in Croke Park,
you know,
in
what
a
I mean?
Football final.
Yeah, and that would be just class.
So what's the story? Are the GAA going, hey, this is cool? Because this is proposed by the Players Association, isn't it?
So I think there's been a bit of backing on it, and they're actually kind of nervous that it's not going to pass. It needs 60% to pass.
So, why would you not? Well, look, because I think surely, how do you incentivize young footballers from Waterford?
Yeah.
You know, to have dreams of playing in, you know, at the highest level.
Yeah.
If they've never actually witnessed it and probably never will in their lifetime,
being
there.
I'll give you an example. This is way of me craning in that I played intercounty hurling once upon a time. I played for Loud, right? And we had the Laurie Mar, was the cup that we were going for.
Mm.
So there's four or five teams in it. You've Cavan, you've Longford, these kind of teams that are your. And the goal was you're going to play a final in Croke Park. And it works in hurling. That was, we were training for that. And that's what all I was thinking. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to play in Croke Park. We didn't play in Croke Park.
But you could have.
But you know what I mean? And that was always in my head, whereas you're playing football for Longford or Loud.
So this setup pretty much exists in hurling already.
Yeah.
It's already been road tested. Why would you not just do it for football as well?
That's where I kind of fall back, and I don't know, so maybe someone else, a listener, might know more. My thought on it is that they don't want the provincial championships to be just thrown away because they're such an iconic thing. So they don't want the Munster Championship to be played in the spring, and who'll care about that? People won't watch that because it goes nowhere.
Okay, because now if you win the Munster Championship, you go straight into the you're effectively going to play the semi-finals.
Yeah, you're progressing every time you win. You know what
Whereas
I mean?
Now it would be you win the Munster Championship or whatever championship, provincial championship, as an end in itself. You get that. You still have your medal. The lads have the trophy. Yeah. You are the champions of Munster that year. But then that doesn't guarantee you your spot. It's your league position that guarantees your spot.
As far as I'm aware.
Okay.
I think you did a good job. Like, it's essentially, you know, trying to describe the Mokanilok to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I think you did a good job.
For players, it means you have more games and less training, because that's what you want. You know, the guaranteed seven championship games, it means if I know the Tip are playing a championship match up in Sligo, like, I've never been to a championship match above in Sligo.
So do you think you'd go to more games as a Tip sports fan? You'd actually go to football games if you thought...
I would, because to my detriment, I don't go to Tip football games. I don't.
Yeah, because you're a hurling man.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just, obviously, it's more competitive for Tipperary hurling. But if I knew it was going to be competitive games, you'd have more of a... You'd definitely be up for going, and it would be great crack because it'd be championship, like, you know?
Yeah.
Back up there now, Mr. Minogue, says a text. Wexford not a footballing county. Loud in the final in Croke Park. We're still getting over the 2010 robbery.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't know what that means.
They played Meath in a Leinster final, and your man threw it into the goal, and it was allowed.
Good God.
Oh, there was a storm in the field that day.
11 years later, they're still bitter.
Makes no sense. Why have a Division 4 team in the championship and not Division 2 teams who are better? Look at the league attendances. That's what this Mikey Mouse championship is about. Local rivalry is important, says a Kildare supporter. I don't understand any of that.
Are they against it then?
You see, this is where it kind of gets a bit, I don't understand much of it either, but a Division 2 team, I think it's only like the top 3 or 4 of Division 2 will play on the Sam Maguire. So like the bottom 2 teams of Division 2, which could be something like, forgive me now, Kildare people, if you're not in Division 2, but I think you might be. If they don't make the top 4 or 5, that means they might.
And then teams that are weaker, because they're in Division 4, are going to play in the Sam.
But just the winner. Just the winner.
But isn't that the exciting thing, though? Like, it's like in the World Cup, when Ireland, you know, we get a chance to get to a World Cup.
Yeah.
Not very often, but when we do, the excitement is there. Yeah, we're not going to win the World Cup. We're not going to beat Brazil and France and Germany, but we're going to go and give it a bash and the fans are going to have a bit of crack. So isn't it better to give the teams in Division 1, team in Division 4, one team in Division 3 and the top teams in Division 2 a chance?
Because at the end, right now, the way it works now is every team is gunning for the Sam Maguire, which makes no sense. So this still doesn't make it any different. You have more competitive games and then you still have the chance. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because no, at the moment, even everyone is playing for the Sam Maguire.
And only four counties, six counties, eight counties can realistically ever win it.
You'll have seven games guaranteed and then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Well, is it a bit just like the Europa League, you know, when you're not in the Champions League or the Challenge Cup in rugby if you're not in the Heineken Cup?
Oh, no, they have a new one in football as well called the Europa Conference. So there's even more chances to play. But you're right. It gives you a trophy to aim for. Like, the team that beat United in the Europa League final last year, Villarreal, like they are now in the Champions League because they won the Europa League. Seville is another Spanish team that won three Europa Leagues in a row. Like, you know, so there's loads to be said for winning a trophy. Like, what it can do for any team.
Carl, you did very well there. I followed that.
Yeah, you got it.
I followed that.
Are we voting for Proposal B?
I think we're, as a show, we seem to be behind it. Now, we don't know enough about it, but from this standpoint, we're like people who just get fed one kind of news on their social media feed. We've just been gorging on Carl's opinions. That's all we know.
I say Carl for like GAA that. President.
Yeah. Here.
Vote him in, lads.
As long as he can get us into a corporate box.
Justin Timberlake, Like I Love You. Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Justin Timberlake, of course, whatever about his solo career, whatever about those tunes. Justin Timberlake is a former member of the best band on earth, NSYNC. Another former member of NSYNC is Joey Fatone. Joey Fatone is in a new TV show in Ireland. And somebody on our show has just teased me. Now, there's no confirmation. But there's a possibility that Joey Fatone from NSYNC maybe talking to us on this show.
What are you going to say to him?
I don't know. I actually don't know. Like, for my 27th birthday, I went to see NSYNC in Anaheim, the home of the Mighty Ducks.
You're not hearing things, folks. He was 27.
It was probably the nicest present my wife has ever given me. And I
don't... Did she go with you?
Yes.
Just checking.
I don't know how I'm going to behave if and when I get to speak to a member of NSYNC. They are a very important band in my life. And I just hope I can be as cool as Pamela Joyce was at Westlife. Have fun, be a stan, but not freak them out. I may just freak Joey out, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Fingers crossed.
But at least COVID is still in the air, so you like for him, you can't hug him.
Yeah, I can't hug him.
So for him, I'm happy for him.
I definitely can't hug him, can I?
No.
If he's vaccinated,
all the managers have just come out of their offices to shake their heads.
Okay, no.
In fact, an airplane has just gone by dragging the word no behind it there outside the studio. A lot of people talking about your love of NSYNC. You're very excited that Joey Fatone from the band. Which one is he? Do you have a goatee?
Yeah, goatee. Really funny. Really, really love Joey.
There's always a funny guy in the boy band. And Niamh says, I love how Dave is into his thrash metal and also NSYNC. His Spotify shuffle must get a great workout. I've been in the car with him. It is bizarre.
You know the daily mix they make for you on Spotify? Like, my daily mix one is literally NSYNC, Slayer, Selena Gomez, Slipknot.
It's so ridiculous. You see me saying,
and then dirty pop, dirty pop. Wow, what a tune.
Dave, ask Joey about his house, best house I've ever seen, and that car collection. OMG, says Collie.
I didn't know about the cars. Yeah, I've seen his house on Instagram. I'm kind of going, oh my God, I'm super jealous of his house, but I'll have to ask about the cars. Yeah.
Here's an interesting one for you. If Dave had to decide between meeting NSYNC or a few Man United players for an interview, what would he choose?
Oh, wow.
So say you've got like Eric Cantona, Gary Neville, Scholes.
Let's see if you can name three members of NSYNC.
Justin.
Uh-huh.
Joey Fatone. Uh-huh. And the other guys.
I didn't think there'd be
Johnny Boo Boo. Seamus Flaherty.
I would have accepted Lance Bass.
Dave, I really hope...
I don't know.
Yeah, have a think. While you're thinking about that, Dave, I really hope you get to meet Joey from NSYNC. You're my spirit animal, says this text. When it comes to music choices,
Other people just don't understand. Fingers crossed for you. Very excited to hear the conversation.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look, I don't even know if it's going to 100% happen, but fingers crossed it will happen. I'll talk to Joey. I genuinely think because NSYNC, you know, are in LA, they're in America, and because, like, I've met Gary Neville and I've been to Old Trafford and Sir Alex Ferguson pulled me by the collar. It's a long story, I won't go into it now. But, like,
it says, get out of my kitchen,
pretty much. I think I'd pick NSYNC over Eric Cantona, Scalzi and Gary Neville, in the hope that maybe at some point in the future I might talk to them again. Anyway, we're not even supposed to be talking about me. You're supposed to be talking about you. You said you've got big news.
I'm excited about NSYNC.
No, forget NSYNC for a minute.
I'd like to meet Justin Timberlake.
Would you?
Yeah. I've watched interviews of him. I went down like a Justin Timberlake wormhole on YouTube one Saturday night.
Yeah.
And comes across as just a really cool guy, always trying out new stuff. You know, doing very entertaining things.
For me, it's JC Chazé. I won't say that to Joey, but if I could interview anybody, it would be JC. But anyway, that's not important. What's important is Dermot Whelan has big news. Tell everyone your big news.
I'm hitting the road.
See ya. Thank God he's out of here, finally.
Maybe I should have told management first, but hell, this seemed way easier. I'll get my stuff. No, many of you may know that I brought out a book earlier this year called Mindful.
Yes.
Which I'm delighted to say became a number one bestseller.
Yes, still selling thousands of copies.
Thank you to everybody who bought it. It's kind of a humorous, fun guide to meditation, because in my spare time I'm a meditation teacher. Well, I was meant to be doing live shows before I ever wrote the book, but of course COVID came along, because I thought I wanted to, you know, I teach companies, you know, de-stressing techniques, and I wanted to teach people who weren't working in corporations, who brought people like me in. So I thought, well, the easiest way to do is do a live show. But then COVID came and they got cancelled.
So when were your original dates? Like, how long ago
March
was this?
March 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So that didn't work
that
out.
That didn't happen.
When and did you push them to?
They were pushed like...
September?
Yeah, September, which we thought was super cautious.
Come on.
Yeah.
September 2020, right.
September 2020, yeah. Exactly. Then they were meant to be happening in September 2021.
Oh, right.
Of course, they never happened again. So they've moved the same number of times as Maria's wedding.
Yeah, and we're constantly going about Maria's wedding. We've never talked about your moving show dates.
No, but those shows sold out in like 2 days.
Okay,
so I have added 4 dates, and the best thing is I'm going around the country, so I'm going to be in the Helix. There's a new, bigger show in the Helix.
Right.
That's going on sale. All these go on sale on Tuesday. I'm going to be down in Limerick. I'm going to be in UL. I'm going to be the Town Hall in Galway. And I'm going to be in the Everyman Theatre in Cork.
Brilliant.
And that's it for the moment. I hope I get to more places. But obviously, the world is trying to book theatres.
Because now it's
2022.
Opening up.
It's trying to get a wedding in 2022. You know, it's only fine. But anyway, I'm delighted to be working with those venues. So I'm going to be bringing Mindful, the live show.
Do you say that now the way I always ask this of comedians when they come up with a title for their show and then they haven't written the show, and they're like, are you there now where you know it's going to be called Mindful because that's the name of your book, and now you've nothing? Is that where you're at right now, or are you prepped? Have you got a show?
Well, no, I'd written the show because I was about to do it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was only weeks away from doing it, and then it was cancelled.
All right, so the show's done. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I won't say I wasn't slightly relieved. Thinking, I could probably do it an extra couple of weeks, not thinking it would be the guts of 2 years. So I'm definitely ready now. So yeah, I'm really excited about it.
What time of the year will they be on in 2022 when they do
it's
happen?
It's February and March.
February and March 2022. Yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
If you go to DermotWhelan.com, all the info's there. Or my Instagram, I'm at DermotTodayFM there. So you can see all the dates. And 10 a.m. Tuesday, that's when the tickets go on sale.
Excellent.
So I can't wait to actually go out and meet people and teach people techniques to de-stress, and we'll have a laugh while we're doing it.
We'll remind you about the tickets going on sale on Tuesday, but go to Dermot's Instagram now at Dermot Today FM and get all the info you need. See you in flames now with David Guetta, and after this we'll give you the chance to win a breakaway in Inchidani.
And can I say a special word of thanks to my wife, who came up with the title Mindful. As in mindful, but it's your mind is full. So she's, and I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. So she came up with the original thing, and then that became the name of the book.
Oh, so how much does she get out of all to my wife?
She gets so many hugs.
Listen back to more from the Dermot and Dave Show on todayfm.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekday mornings from 9 on Today FM.